Warning: The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday in the Savage Nation. Welcome to the Savage Nation, where America still rules. Not yet a vassal state of the new Islamic caliphate. Not yet an appendage of the Roman Empire. Judenrats like Blitzer leading the West to its death. Judenrats like Wolf Blitzer leading the West to its death. Judenrats like Blitzer. I feel like, okay, turn it off. You know, I feel like I'm living in a parallel universe. Let me tell you why. Yesterday, a religious school is attacked by Palestinian murderers. They machine gun innocent children. The floors are littered with Bibles and the Jewish blood of children. And the Judenrats, like Blitzer, who are leading the West to its death, couch this act in phrases that would make Leni Riefenstahl proud. I look, I see no coverage. Instead, I see the same Obama race, 55 million. Well, shouldn't anyone ask where an unknown senator raised $55 million from in 1 month? That's the issue, not the $55 million. But the Judenrats and the media don't ask those questions. They're like the ones who led the children into the gas chambers while wearing clown masks. Did you know about that story, folks? During the Holocaust of World War II, when over 6 million Jews and millions of Christians were killed by the Nazis, over 1 million Jewish children were gassed to death. And they didn't just go into the ovens. They were frightened, you see. So what they did was is they got entertainers, in some cases, to entertain the children and cajole them into the gas chambers. In fact, Jerry Lewis, I understand, made a movie about this, and it was never released. I was dying to see this movie. He was a clown in Germany, a Jewish clown, and they told him he could stay alive a little longer if he would don his clown costume and lead the Jewish children into the gas chamber. And he did so, you know, this character. And that's who the Judenrats in the media are like, as far as I'm concerned, leading the West to its death to stay alive another day in the media. But we have the same thing in the courts, where activist, radical liberal judges are doing the same thing to the West, at every turn catering to Muslim terrorist front groups. And where it ends, around and around it goes, where it ends, I think everybody knows. Just look at Israel. How is it possible that children could be slaughtered in a religious school, executed by people with machine guns, unarmed children, and the world doesn't rise up in agony and screaming and yelling and demanding an immediate bombing raid on Gaza to kill the perpetrators? How is it possible? How is it possible that there are no tears left in the world for atrocities, whether they be in Darfur or in Israel? What has happened to the world's tears? Have they dried up? Have the people become numb from Prozac, pornography, and God knows what else? Where have the tears gone? Are the people so obsessed with narcissistic pleasures, predatory sexual practices, that the tears have dried up? Why has there been no news of the slaughtered Jewish children? Now, it's alleged that the Jewish people own the media in America. Now, if the Jewish people own the media in America, you'd ask yourself, why haven't the Jews then talked about the slaughter of the Jewish children in the yeshiva? and describe them as they are, children, unarmed children slaughtered by vicious, disgusting, murderous Palestinian subhumans. How come? Why hasn't that been discussed? Oh, well, let's move on. Let's do Rock and Roll Friday. You're not interested in this. You're interested in, you know, movies and things of that nature. Oh, yes, the war goes on here in America in the courts. The Muslim pressure group CARE has gone before a liberal San Francisco judge appointed by Bill Clinton today, demanding that my lawsuit be thrown out. It's very interesting, but I think the judge is moving in their direction. Today, Judge Ilston, appointed by Bill Clinton, are you shocked that in San Francisco I wouldn't get a fair trial? Are you surprised that in San Francisco there is no justice? Today, Judge Ilston, appointed by Bill Clinton, indicated to my attorney that she may require us to amend our complaint before letting our case proceed. Now, she has not yet issued any order, and it's unclear when she will do so. However, regardless of how the court rules on CARE's preliminary motion to dismiss, which, again, I want to reiterate, seeks to eviscerate my First Amendment rights, that's what the Muslim front groups do around the world. They silence the cartoonists by threatening to kill others as they killed Van Gogh. In America, they silence us by threatening to destroy our programs. My lawyer has assured me that CARE's motion is merely a speed bump in this process and will not stop the case from moving forward. However, I want to say to all of you listening to this program, there are approximately at least 10 million, maybe 20 million people a week listen to this, the third most listened to radio show in the United States of America. I want to reiterate that. Over 25,000 of you have donated between $5,000 and several thousand to this fund. A good portion of it has been used up just to get to step one. If you're on my side and you've not yet sent $5 and I lose this case, it will be because of you. You will have done it. It's not enough for you to say, go, Mike, go. It's not enough for you to say, yeah, get him, Mike. It's not enough for you to say, I'm on your side, Mike. What you got to do is buy one less soda, one less hot dog. And what you got to do is go to michaelsavage.com today, tomorrow, Sunday, right through next week, and donate $5, $10, $15, $20, whatever you have. Because I'm going to build up a war chest, and I may take this all the way to the United States Supreme Court, and I'll tell you why. Although the activist radical liberal judge, who was the first stop along the way, appointed by Bill Clinton, may throw out the lawsuit, I can appeal it. At which point it then goes to the more liberal, if you can believe it, more liberal court, the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, the most overturned activist court in the United States of America. People all appointed by Barbara Boxer, Dianne Feinstein, people of that nature, if you want to call it a nature. However, my friends, I will then appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court, where I believe I have a chance to prevail. Because remember, at the Supreme Court, we have a slight majority of fairness. We don't have any majority here. We are in the tiny minority in San Francisco's federal courts. We may as well be living in Poland in 1930, taking a lawsuit against the Third Reich. It's as though the Third Reich has the courts, and someone is trying to have an appeal against the courts ruled by the party coming out of Munich. That's how I see it. Again, I want to say to you, I think it's you who killed the children in Israel yesterday. I think it's your apathy. And I'm speaking not only to the Jews listening to this show, but I blame you as well. I blame the liberal Jews in America for having slaughtered those children in the yeshiva yesterday because you didn't raise your voice in protest. You have become the non-persons of Nazi Germany. I know many of you have said, oh, if I had lived in Germany in the 30s and I saw what was going on, I would have done something. Well, here you are living in America and you haven't even said boo about those kids being killed. Here you are living in America, you haven't voiced any outrage that your local newspaper, your local TV station calls them children and calls the murderers, the Palestinian murderers, gunmen, without defining them as Muslims. You did it. You killed those children. You have empowered the murderers. And on a minor note, you have empowered CARE to destroy my radio show. It's you who will have killed the show. You, my great supporters. Hey, Mike. Hey, Mike. Yeah, I really like you, Mike. But you don't have 10 cents to send, huh? Selfish, narcissistic. Blame yourself. Don't blame anybody else. 1-800-449-8255. That's basically it. I live in a parallel universe. All night long last night after the show, I turned on the TV, one channel to the other, hoping to see some coverage of the slaughterhouse in this Jewish school where children were executed by a man, several Palestinians with machine guns. I couldn't find any coverage. I flipped around Fox News. There was one stooge after another covering a rape or a murder or an Obama story or a Hillary story, but I couldn't understand it. I said, am I the last person to turn the lights out on caring about the Middle East? Am I the last person in the media who sees what's going on in the Middle East? I could be. I may be the last person in the media who actually sees what's going on in the Middle East. Conservatives, did they talk about it? Did the golfer talk about it today? Did Wallbanger, who I call affectionately Wallbanger because that's basically what he is. I'm talking about the great Sean Hannity who graduated, I think, high school. I don't hold it against him that he has no formal education. It's just that he's an idiot, by and large, because all he does is what the stooges want him to do. The man has no depth. Did Wallbanger cover this? Maybe I'm mistaken. I'll take back those words if Wallbanger or the golfer covered it. I wouldn't expect the Leprechaun to cover it because, remember, Fox is owned 18% by foreign powers. Did you know that? 18% of Fox is owned by foreign powers, which is why they go soft on Saudi stories and soft on slaughter of Jews stories. Now, with regard to the election, so-called, which is a sham, by the way, there's an interesting article which explains why they continuously show Hillary and Obama left and right, day in and day out, day in and day out. And it dawned on me, it didn't dawn on me actually till today when I discussed it with my producer, that these campaigns are spending millions and millions of dollars on the media to take ads, Obama, Hillary, Obama, Hillary, Obama, Hillary. And what they're doing is they're saying, I'll tell you what, we'll spend $10 million with your network over the next 2 or 3 months, but you've got to give us coverage for free as well in terms of news stories, and then we'll spend the money. That's what's going on. They're infomercials. A lot of what the news is today is infomercials. I rest my case. I'll be right back.
Savage. Boom, boom, boom.
Clinton appointee, a judge who knows. Let me explain how the judge world works in case you think that they're different than you and I. If you want to get ahead in a system, you do what the system wants you to do. So if you're appointed, for example, by Bill Clinton, you're a liberal activist judge. Now, as you well know, the winds of change are blowing in America, and there might be a Democrat president. And a smart judge knows which way the wind blows. And if she wants to move up to a higher level in the federal circuit, she does the dirty work for the left wing in this country. That's how the system works. The party does not permit anyone to march to their own drum, and they don't permit anyone to march to the drum of truth. You may not like what I say, but I'm warning you. I'm warning you that when they come for Michael Savage, if you're cheering, you stupid schmucks, you liberals in the end will be the end of the road, and there'll be nobody left to talk for you. But you see, many of you are so naive and so uneducated that you haven't any idea what's at stake. It's way beyond me. I have the right to say what I think about radical Islam. I have the right to say that I think Ahmadinejad is the Hitler of our time, which he is. But you see, CARE, this group CARE, by the way, has not yet even condemned the slaughter of the Jewish children in the yeshiva yesterday, Judge Ilston. Did you know that? You didn't know that. What you don't know is that my show will go on. What you don't know is that this organization, in my opinion, is a part of the worldwide Islamist apparatus. That's what you don't know. Now, the homosexuals in San Francisco are cheering today, but I wouldn't expect much from them. When the eye alters, it alters all. You see, that was said a long time ago by the poet Blake in the 19th century. The eye that alters, alters all. when you turn your whole mind over to gratuitous sex that's against the laws of nature, what you do is you twist your entire mind. You convert your entire mind to another way of thinking. Your addiction starts to color your thinking. And so the eye that alters all has real meaning here. They're actually on the side of the people who kill homosexuals in their home country. How do you explain that? How do you explain that a country like Iran, which says, hey, we have no homosexuals, and then hangs them? Well, I have pictures. We have pictures of them hanging homosexuals in Iran. The gays are cheering today in San Francisco because the judge seems to be favoring a front group for radical Islam, in my opinion. Suicidal behavior, possibly. Insanity, liberalism is a mental disorder. Chicago, Illinois. Mike, what do you make of all this?
Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I've been listening to you for about 7 years. In your opening segment, when you said that if you lose this lawsuit, that it will be our fault, I got to be honest, my first thought was that was weak. And how dare you say it's our fault if you lose? Having said that, after thinking about it for about 10 seconds, I realized you are correct, because this is not only about Michael Savage. This is about all of us. This is about all of us.
That's correct. You see, what CARE did in the lawsuits they have filed is they've tried to silence any criticism of the council on whatever they're called. But if you have traced their origins, as my attorney has done, their origins go back to the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. They are an unindicted co-conspirator in a federal anti-terrorism trial, and here we have Americans on their side. They sued the airlines, and they set up a fake case with the flying imam lawsuit. They provoked people to get frightened on an airplane. Then they sued everybody on the plane, the pilots, the passengers, the airline, the airport. I know who this group is. They've learned how to use the courts because they know the courts are filled with liberals, liberal judges.
Yeah.
So, as I say, you know, that you got to do what you got to do. But remember, if it's me today, who is it tomorrow? Who is it tomorrow? 1-800-449-8255. Go to michaelsavage.com. Check out the lawsuit. Make a donation. See what I think about this situation right now. Or do you want to continue to live in your own parallel universe? Where is free speech? You don't believe in it, do you?
Savage.
Interesting to me that the war against the West is being fought on many fronts at once. In Israel, they kill children in a yeshiva. You see the blood of Jewish children on the floor next to Bibles, and even Jews in America go about their business stepping over the dead bodies. Here in San Francisco, front groups for radical Islamists, like CARE, in my opinion, try to silence free speech, shopping it to a judge, an activist judge appointed by Bill Clinton. Not an outcry. And I mean, but 25,000 of you have sent money to my defense fund, and I'm not going away. I'll take it to the Supreme Court if I have to. We've had a barrage of calls just now from people who want the address to send checks or cash to. Michael Savage Legal Fund, that you can remember. 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor. Number 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Fran, California, 94111. Michael Savage Legal Fund. 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, California, 94111. Do you realize I have about 800,000 to a million people every 15 minutes to listen to this show? Think of what would happen if each of them sent a dollar, $5, $10. We could save free speech. And remember, you don't have to agree with what I say to understand that I have the right to say it. I've got to repeat to you over and over again, the First Amendment was written for speech that you find reprehensible. The First Amendment's not needed to protect polite speech. Nobody needs a First Amendment to protect polite news speak. The First Amendment is there to protect speech that you find offensive. That's what it was written for. And so when the cartoonist paints a picture of Muhammad with a bomb sizzling on his head, it immediately grips the West because that's how they see the picture. And what do? They want to kill. They want to riot. They want to shut down free speech. They want to import their brand of throwbackdom into the West. Everything we stand for in the West is about freedom and freedom of speech. And here we have the liberals in San Francisco, who the more they scream, I am free, the louder I can hear their chains rattling. They're a bunch of slaves taking the side of those who would kill them. Michael Savage, Legal Fund, for Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, California, 94111. Now, we've received numerous requests for me to replay a portion of yesterday's opening from the Savage Nation when we first learned of the slaughter of the children in Israel. Here it is.
We've talked about the need to restore calm, and of course that means also to stop the rocket attacks against Israeli citizens. We have talked about the need to return to the path of negotiations.
גדל ויסקדה שמי רבו בעולמו דברוך ירעוסי וימליך מלכוסי בחיי חוין וביוי מיחוין ובחיי דכל בייס ישראל בא גולו וזמן קורי ואמרו אמן.
It's normal, but because there hasn't been any sort of major attack in Israel in quite some time, this explains why the celebrations are so intense. It's normal to a certain amount of celebration when this sort of thing happens, but this is far more intense than I've seen in quite some time here. And it's not unusual in the Middle East. I've seen the same sort of thing happen in Baghdad and other
parts. Well, who do you blame for the death of the Jewish children today? Do we blame Ben Wiedemann of the CNN Bureau in Egypt, saying it's normal for the Palestinian murderers to celebrate after they slaughter children like sheep? Do we blame Condoleezza Rice? Do we blame Olmert? Or do we blame the Israelis themselves for having abrogated their own responsibilities to their own children? Who do we blame? Well, I'm not in the blame business, but I'm sitting here and watching a slow-motion Holocaust with a little help from their friends. You know, in this world, with friends like Israel has, they don't really need any enemies. All they need are friends like Condoleezza Rice and the State Department, and before long, the Middle East will be judenfrei, and everyone can be peaceful again in the United States of America and, of course, in Europe. Because once the last Jew is either killed or driven out of the Middle East, why, the Arabs and the Muslims and the Islamists who are killing all over the world, whether it be in the Sudan or in the Philippines or in Chechnya or in India, wherever you turn, it's a Muslim killing somebody in the name of their oppressed rights because they can't get along with their neighbor. And so, of course, as you well know, all of this is caused by the Jews. Had, of course, there been no Israel, there would be no murder in Bombay. Had there been no Israel, there'd be no murder in the 1500s. Had there been no Israel, there would have been no murder in the 8th century, 9th century, 10th century, 11th century, 12th century, 13th century. You name the century and you'll find Muslim fanatics killing their neighbors to either convert them or to get even with some perceived grievance. And so this death today, these deaths today in Israel that we're covering on the Savage Nation are on the one hand sad, on the other hand a symptom of the decline of the West. And, of course, this is nothing to celebrate. If you don't know what I'm talking about, two Palestinian murderers broke into a Jewish school at 8:30 Thursday night, murdered eight religious students. They were all teenagers, by the way. Tell me how many of you have seen coverage which said Jewish children murdered by Palestinians, wounded at least 10. And what was the message sent by these murderous animals? Well, I wouldn't even call them animals because I happen to love animals. What was the message sent when you have a nation like Israel, which goes out of its way, bends over backwards to avoid civilian casualties, and as a result is dying as a nation, and you have the enemy that specifically targets children, specifically targets women, specifically targets schools? What would you say about a situation like that? It's situational ethics? Well, it's not situational ethics. What it is war. That's all it is. It's war. And if Israel has lost its ability to fight the war that they have found themselves in from the day they were founded in that desert, then I don't have to tell you what the future will bring. The phone number here is 1-800-449-8255. But who do you blame? Do you blame CNN? Do you blame the Western media? Do you blame Olmert? Do you blame Abbas? Do you blame President Bush? Do you blame Condoleezza Rice? Who do you blame? Do you blame the Israelis? Who do you blame? KNEW, San Francisco. Tom, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael. Tom.
Break here. Let's come back live. Okay, that was the opening yesterday. And as I said, I mean, after the show, I went home. I changed channel after channel after channel. ABC, CBS, NBC, CNN, CNN headline where the hemorrhoid man is on, Mr. Conservative. Fox News. I couldn't find the coverage. All it was rape and murder. Rape and murder. The tabloidization of the news has become lower than ever. Have you noticed it? Has anyone but me noticed what's happened to the news? We know it's a tabloid medium. We understand that. But since the Australian has come to town, it's become below tabloid level. Now, of course, the Australian has bought the Wall Street Journal. Soon there'll be nude women on the front with ticker tape around their thighs, I suppose, and they'll say that that's the new Wall Street Journal. And, of course, no one will say anything because they want to work. They all want to work for the Australian. All right. I live in a parallel universe. It's my own world. I don't think anybody – there may be people who live in this world. I mean, I have a very large radio show. I can't believe everyone's listening to it just to have fun. But something's happened in America that's crying out to be talked about, and that is the lack of outrage. The tears have dried up for all of the tragedies on the earth. They're not there anymore. What has happened to the people? There's no outrage. There's no shock. There's nothing. It's like a nation of dead people, like The Walking Dead, like Golem. Okay, I'll take your calls now. Sacramento, Gail, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please. Gail, go ahead, please.
Hello, can you hear me?
Off the air, next case. Sacramento, Stan, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Mike, I'll tell you, there's got to be other things we could do for you besides sending money. Maybe we need to have a little bit of a rally there in San Francisco, or even your old stomping grounds at Berkeley. Maybe it'll get some more attention.
Yeah, I could bring out 10,000 people outside the federal courthouse if I wanted to. I might do that. I could bring 10,000 people out. I could bring trucks. I could bring big rigs into this city and shut it down if I wanted to. It would be illegal, so I wouldn't recommend it. But if I wanted to, I could tie up all the bridges in and out of San Francisco with the trucks. You want to see what power is? You want to see me pull a switch and exert power in this city? You want to see what's going to go on in this country, in the city, if they keep this up? If they keep dismissing me and they keep dismissing conservatives? They want to shut down homeschoolers? They want to close down conservative radio? Go ahead, keep it up. You liberals think you control the city? You control Jack. You're all drugged out of your gourds. I'll show you what's going to happen here if you keep this up. Yeah, what a good idea. You want to see outrage? You want to see people? I'll show you people. You think that only the leather crowd can come out for a parade and beat each other up in the street with chains? That's what you call family values. That's their idea in San Francisco of fun, to bring children to a parade like that, with people whipping each other and pulling each other with pliers in the street. And Nancy Pelosi said it doesn't violate the Catholic Church's teachings. You hear this? How do you people put up with this? Am I the only one living in a parallel? Am I living in a parallel universe? Are you outraged by this? How do they get away with it? Chicago, Maryland, welcome to the program.
Seen anything in the news about it?
What'd you just say? Please, quick.
Oh, I'm sorry. I said that I'm amazed that I haven't seen anything in the news at all about it.
About what?
About the school children being assassinated by the Muslims.
Oh, no, because that might upset Obama's supporters in Chicago. Thanks for the call. That's what people are saying, by the way. That's the whisper campaign going on around America in impolite society, incidentally. Let me take your callers on these topics and others. I mean, it's open mic to Mike. It's Friday. Whatever you want to talk about, there are other topics. There are other topics here in the Bay Area and around the country. Believe me, I'm on 400 stations, 380 stations or something like that. Do you know that the fools in the San Francisco area think that I'm only on one station? Do you know that? They don't understand I'm on 380 stations around the country. They have no idea what they are dealing with here. They haven't any idea. Oh, there's a picture of Teddy. They put the pictures of my doggie up again, but they got the early pictures of Teddy. I click on it. I see Broadway in San Francisco, a dummy of a stripper. Where's the Teddy picture? You led them in to see that? How awful of you. That's a picture of Teddy when he was all black, when his fur was all black. He's not. He's all gray right now. God, he's cute. He looks like a little teddy bear. Why does he make me happy? What is it about dogs that make me happy ever since I've been a child? Answer. The overtness of a dog. There they are, up front, straight out. That's it. Cats are covert, like liberals. Dogs are overt, like conservatives. Liberals never tell you what they really think. They smile at you and stab you in the back. They go in little litter boxes behind the couch. Dogs don't hide anything. I guess that's why we love them. KNEW, San Francisco. Jim, welcome to the program.
You cannot give up. Your voice.
Jim, slow down. I'm having trouble today with every caller. Something's wrong with my show again. Either they're asleep, they're on glue, they've got sand in their eyes. I'm going to try one more time. If not, I'm going to go home today. Start again, Jim. I can't hear you.
Oh, okay. You cannot give up. Your voice is strained, and that's just from the stress. Don't waver. Remember the cartoon, the crane swallows the frog, yet the frog has tight fist around Crane's throat with the caption, never give up. We need our own caucus. It's time.
Jim, I haven't even begun to fight. Don't assume I've given up. I haven't begun to fight yet, Jim. This isn't even round one. I'll take this all the way to the Supreme Court, no matter what it costs. But I need help for that, Jim. I can't do it alone. Thanks for the call. That's all there is to it. Oh, everyone. Oh, Mike. Go, man, go. Well, send $5. Go ahead. 10, 20, 1,000. If you're a wealthy guy who doesn't want your name known, send it in cash to Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, California, 94111. I don't even open the envelopes. It's a company that's doing it for me. So don't think I'm taking any more money from it. I have not bought a cup of coffee with the money. I have not taken a meal with the money. I have not gone on a trip with the money. You know, people use funds like this for a lot of things. They fly to Hawaii and, oh, yeah, well, we're discussing the case. I didn't take a dime. I didn't buy a cup of coffee with it. I want you to understand that I'm using it strictly for legal fees. And let me tell you something. Even to get to the step where the judge may throw it out, it's cost me a lot of money, well over $100,000, in case you don't know it. You know, lawsuits are very expensive. Litigation is very costly. This is not a $300 case or a $3,000 case. I probably need a budget of at least $2 to $3 million for this. If you want to know what the number is, that's my guess. Sacramento, Don, welcome to the Savage Nation.
This is Don. Actually.
All right. Something's wrong with my call screener today. When I go to break, I'll find out. Go ahead, please.
Yes, Michael. This is Dennis in Valley Springs. I can't believe that only a few thousand people have donated. With 10 million listeners, you should have $10 million in your account now.
We have over 25,000 people have given. I'm trying to tell you, that's a lot of people, Don. Remember when I raised money for Colonel Chesani? Over $300,000 was raised by this audience. I donated $35,000 of my own money to defend Lieutenant Colonel Chesani, who was being railroaded by the U.S. Marine Corps. Remember that? But my listeners gave over $300,000 to his cause. So I'm very, very happy that the people have been sending money in. I'm just saying that now's the time for those who haven't to think about it. That's all. I'll be right back. Savage. Universe of the Savage Nation. Here's a little story to show you about activist judges in California. A California so-called judge, Los Angeles Superior Court Commissioner Marilyn Mackel, don't you know, rejected a foster teen's request for early enlistment with the U.S. Marine Corps and a $10,000 signing bonus, saying that the judge didn't approve of the Iraq War. The judge said she didn't support the Iraq War for any reason and he can't enlist. That's fair. Isn't that great that we have judges who are acting as they did in the communist system of the Soviet Union? I'm not saying I'm facing the same thing here in San Francisco. After all, a federal judge is different than a Los Angeles Superior Court commissioner. No, they're above it. The justice is blind. The scales of justice are so balanced, as you well know, that they'd even take the side of a Muslim pressure group like CARE over a native-born American free speech advocate, Michael Savage. That's how fair they are. Very fair. And the press is even more fair. Jewish children are slaughtered while reading the Bible in Israel, and the press doesn't cover it. They say gunmen killed 8 people in Israel. But it was in retaliation for attacks by Israel. That's fair. That's the fair and balanced media that you deserve. The Judenrats. The Judenrats leading you all to your death. They've put you to sleep, and now they're leading you into the gas chambers of your own mind. KNEW, San Francisco. Lisa, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. Thank you so much for always talking about the most important issues. I knew I was anticipating today and waiting to for you to come on the air because I knew you would talk about this homeschool issue. I'm a homeschool mom, and we do.
Why don't you explain what happened quickly? We have only a minute. The homeschoolers of California were told by another judge that it's illegal for you to raise your or teach your own children unless you get a certificate from the government. Isn't that correct?
That's correct.
And who is the judge? Who appointed this judge? Bill Clinton?
Bill Clinton did.
Ah, the same kinds of judges that I'm facing, same type of judge I'm facing. Isn't it great how fair the liberals are? They love the people so much, and they have such faith in the people.
Well, yeah.
Okay, well, you homeschoolers, good luck. Good luck. I'm surprised she didn't say you have to go to jail, that you don't have to go to jail for not teaching your children to be homosexual. Don't you understand what it's all about? Is that you're not teaching your children, the boys, to lie down with boys and the girls to lie down with girls. That's all it is. It's them. It's them again. It's the gay mafia. They own the courts in this state. Don't you understand that yet? You don't understand what's behind almost every one of these decisions? Well, I do, because I know where the power is in this city and this state, if not the nation.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I hate it. Turn it off. Horrible. Welcome to the Savage Nation. I'm just not in a rock and roll Friday mood. You know, I just don't assume that I'm giving up. I'm just starting. You don't understand how I function. This is not a defeat for me. This is just the beginning of a long march to the Supreme Court. It's as simple as that, but I need your help. So go to michaelsavage.com and finally make a donation. What's amazing to me is not one Jewish organization has come to my aid. I find that interesting and very telling. That not one Jewish organization has come forward to help me in my time of need with CARE. What does that tell you about Jewish organizations per se? I don't even want to hear what you think of it because I know what I think of them. I know what organizations are. I know what all organizations are. They're basically self-serving, self-aggrandizing organizations. They're like governments unto themselves. They exist only for the people who run them. That's what they are. So that's why I'm going to you, the people. Now, we're talking about this and that and other topics, but there's a great article on michaelsavage.com, headlined as such, by Herb Denenberg from the Philadelphia area, where he writes, "Glorifying Obama is one of the greatest journalistic failures in American history, And he specifically points Newsweek out as one of the worst offenders. Newsweek, as you well know, is part of that biased and dishonest group that is owned by the Washington Post. And they have deified Obama and his wife to the point of nausea. He then goes down the list and he says, if you want to know what is going on in the world, you have to give up on the mainstream media, which I call the midstream media, such as the New York Times, the Philadelphia Inquirer, the Washington Post, the Boston Globe, ABC, CBS, NBC, PBS, NPR, Fox Cable News, Reuters, Associated Press, etc. I find it interesting that he also includes Fox Cable News because I have seen what happened to them over the last year, how they became the CNN of 5 years ago, while CNN became the new Lenny Riefenstahl station. And then he says, try some alternatives. And he names the alternatives, including talk radio, conservative talk radio, including this show. Then, of course, there's the Internet where you can get a full range of opinion and avoid the mainstream lies in the midstream media. Let's go to the callers. Let's see what you think out there. Kathy in Chicago on WIND. Go ahead, please.
Michael, how are you?
Good.
Great. Listen, I just wanted to say hello from Chicago and let you know that you've got some faithful gay listeners out here. And we're not all the cause of all the evil in the world today. And there are some that agree with
no,
you.
I know. Look, but Kathy, listen to me. You, if you've listened to the show, you know where I stand on this issue of sexual freedom. I don't care what people do with their bodies. I care what they do with their politics.
Couldn't agree more.
I've said it 1,000 times. I'm a sexual libertarian. I don't care what adults, consenting adults, do with their bodies. You've heard me say that. If people like that, that's their business. It's not mine. But when they use their sexuality as a weapon against society to propose Marxism, they're going to come up against the stone wall called the savage nation. It's a very different story than condemning gays.
Should because
San Francisco. You see, in San Francisco, there's very little homosexual freedom. They're all part and parcel of a machine. The machine here is a juggernaut of extreme left-wing behavior. It has almost nothing to do with sexuality. That's the whole point. Maybe in Chicago it's different.
It is different where there's the Midwest sensibility, I think. And also there's just...
Kathy, can I ask you something? Are the San Francisco gays considered like provincial to the rest of the gay communities in the country? I'm very serious about that. Are they sort of like out of it? The San Francisco gay community, is it known as is different than gay communities in the rest of the country? I'm curious about that.
I think all of California is known as different communities than the rest of the country.
All right, so the gay community is even amongst gays considered weird.
I think it's considered a whole lot, you know, wilder than the average person. I mean, the average person here in Chicago, be they gay or straight, gets up and deals with traffic congestion and has kids to get ready for school or doesn't have kids and goes to their local church on Sundays. And
all right, so you're a lesbian. Why do you like this show?
I'm sorry?
You say you're a lesbian. Why do you listen to this show if I'm supposedly such a bad guy?
No, I wasn't saying you were a bad guy. I was letting you know how much we appreciate your intelligence and your support and the differentiations that you make. So many times conservatives, you know, just want to slam all the gay community is some sort of evil beast, just like people on the left want to, you know.
I got it. All right, I get it. So you actually listen to me.
Same.
You actually listen. All right. Thanks, dear. Have a good night. Thanks for calling. I mean it. Great. I'm a sexual libertarian. You know, I have the Rabelaisian view, which is face it que voudra. Do as you will. Leave the children alone, number one, and leave marriage out of it because it's impossible. It's an oxymoron. Two gays cannot get married. It goes against millions of years of evolution and against thousands of years of all civilizations. And you're not going to change the world because you want to. That's how I see the world. That's all. It's my opinion. It's my opinion. Sacramento, Shannon, welcome. What's on your mind? Welcome to the program.
Michael, I had a dream about a week or so ago in which I was running across the street and this yellow Viper sports car nearly clips me. And in the wake of the wind, I get thrown to the curb and tossed pretty hard. And I'm pretty hurt. And I'm coming to, and I look up, and there's a man standing there, and it's you, Michael. And you kind of pick me up and dust me off, and I look with all sincerity at your face, and I say, Michael, you're all I have. And you put your hand gently on my face and say, and you are all I have.
And isn't that interesting? Wow. Well, look, that's the power of a media personality when they enter your life. This show is a lot more than the enemies would grant it. You understand that, Shannon. It is a connection between the audience and me that they can't even comprehend.
You know, I thought, and with your lawsuit and everything, I kind of, I haven't, because I drive a big truck and I don't have time to go on a computer, nor do I have access. But I pulled over immediately when you gave out the address, and I'll be sending you some money. And then when the government sends me that economic stimulus check, I pledge that to you as well.
All right. Thanks. I'm glad I saved you in your dream world. Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. It's easy. We even take cash from those who want to retain their privacy. I don't even open the checks. I don't open the cash. It's done by a third party. And I'm going to fight this, even if the judge throws it out, the Clinton judge throws it out and says dismissed, and I take the side of this Islamic Front group, CARE, I'm going to appeal it to the next level, which is even more liberal, which is the Ninth Circuit. But then if I get thrown out by the Ninth Circuit, I'm going to the Supreme Court. At least that's my plan right now. I'm not sure of my exact course, but I'm willing to do it, assuming that I have the funding to do so. Okay? 1-800-449-8255, phone number, michaelsavage.com. So what would you like to talk about? Susan, KNEW, San Francisco. Welcome. What's on your mind?
I'm not a jealous person. I never have been until now. I am so jealous of your wife. We're going back to sex and your children because...
Wait a minute. What do you mean by going back to sex? When did we talk about sex?
Well, you know, homosexuals or whatever. I'm just jealous of your wife. She is so
Oh, God. Wow, that's a loaded statement. I can't even respond to it.
Good. Thank you.
Are you having a rough day or what? What is this?
I'm having a wonderful day. But
did you know there's an article out that says French women are the sexual predators now? Women now have more than twice as many partners as they did in the 1970s in France, according to the study by the French AIDS Research Agency. It says, are women just like men? And one of the biggest changes in recent years, according to the report, was that male and female sexual behavior had become increasingly similar. And the number of partners that women have has gone up. The number of partners men have has gone down. And what's interesting about this study, if it's true, about females being the predators, is that the men in France, they say, are not that interested in it. Was that 1 in 5 French men aged between 18 and 24 manifest no interest in sexuality. I mean, I've heard of metrosexuality. I guess we can give this a new name, which is called neuters or something. The French always look like neuters to me, the French men. While abstinence rates for men under 35 was twice as high as for women. That's not surprising. It's not surprising at all. That's why the Muslim fanatics were able to burn 9,000 cars over the summer and nobody did anything. Of course you can understand that. It's all related. That's how I see it. It's all related. And the old dichotomy of male predators and females patiently awaiting the warriors return in front of the cave entrance is over. Female sexual emancipation, just what the doctor ordered. KNEW, San Francisco. Lorraine, welcome to the program. Topic, please.
Hello, Michael. I want to talk about Israel being a cup of trembling, as the Bible says, for all nations, and they're just daily fulfilling their prophecy. They're becoming more and more hated by the nations all around the world, which was predicted in the Bible.
So you mean what the slaughter of the Jewish kids, it was predicted too?
I don't think each specific incident was predicted, but the fact that the world would come to hate Israel was predicted and is happening daily.
Okay, so what next happens? Let's say the world hates Israel, then what?
Well, according to the Bible, Ezekiel 38, I think, is what's going to happen next. And that's where nations that are listed there are going to come against Israel and try to destroy her. And it looks from the prophecy that it's with nuclear weapons. But all the nations that are listed there are already in cahoots with each other. And they're all Islamic, except for the one nation of Germany, which is listed in the Bible as coming up against
Israel.
Right,
and of course, add to the Islamic nations, the media nations, of Europe and America. They're a nation unto themselves, aren't they?
Yes, they are. And America, according to the Bible, if they are the young lions, if that's who they are identified, they're just going to stand by and let it happen. They're not going to do anything about it. And what's interesting is when George Bush was in Israel this last time visiting, the Sanhedrin gave him a scroll. And in the scroll, it said, stand for Israel, or the certain things that have happened in the Bible to nations that went against us, these things are going to happen to the United States. And the very next day, with this scroll, he had already read it, he got up there and called Israel the occupiers of Palestinian lands. So he didn't.
Oh, no, George Bush is the most anti-Israel president in modern American history, and he gets away with it, even amongst the evangelicals, which is astounding to me. Look, the American press doesn't shock me, no matter what they do. They glorify Obama. When Bush does a thing like that, you'd think they jump all over it, but they didn't, because he agrees with them. Don't you understand what George Bush has been doing in the last few months? He's making nice with the socialist, internationalist press. And what he's doing is taking their side and their viewpoint, rather, on virtually all major issues, hoping that when he leaves office, they're nice to him. They help him build his library. They let him put his feet up on the desk in Crawford. What he's doing is he's doing public relations for his own end right now. Thanks for the call. I'll be back.
Savage.
Tears dried up in America. Have people lost the ability to feel? Have they become not only apathetic, but pathetic as well? Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Chicago, Illinois. Sharon, welcome to the program. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I cannot believe I'm talking to you. I called. Thank you for saving me. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening. Saving you from what?
Well, from the whole Democratic bureaucracy, from seeing the whole Islam.
Democratic theocracy? You mean that you don't believe Hillary and Obama want to help you?
No, that's too.
You mean that Hillary isn't out there for you? You mean she's out there for her own power? And you really don't really mean that you don't think Obama and Mrs. Obama aren't nice people, are you? That they're not just politicians, that they're. You really don't believe that he's the new Messiah?
They're evil. I believe that he might be the Antichrist. But
well, I don't deal in such phraseologies as the Antichrist. I do know that he's just an unknown politician from Chicago who raised $55 million last month, and the media doesn't ask from where. I would think that would be a news story. Hey, unknown junior senator raises $55 million in 1 month. Where'd it come from? Wouldn't that be a news story? Thank you. Sacramento, Chris, welcome. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I'm calling because I want to tell you, you are the modern American Job. And if you...
Well, that's nice. Thank you for the blessing.
You look at also at the end of the of Job's journey and what has happened, and he kept his eyes only on God. And you do the same, and you'll be fine. And your fight will encourage everyone to continue and to live and be a better American. That's all.
Well, you know, that's nice to hear. I don't like to be put into a heroic mold because I'm not heroic. I'm an ordinary guy with an extraordinary background. And I have the ability to express what I actually think very succinctly. But I wouldn't put me into that mold of a biblical hero. But I thank you very much. You know, radio is what people want to make you. That's all I can say. Thank you for the thoughts, but don't confuse me with you know, there's a plant. I remember my years as a botanist, Job's Tears. I remember collecting Job's Tears in Fiji. Lacrima. I remember the Latin is lacrima something Jobii. I don't remember the full Latin name, but I remember lacrima, which is Latin from tears. You know, the lacrimal glands. I love the Latin botanical names, how imaginative they were. You know, the binomials, genus, species. I don't think they still teach that anymore, do they? I don't really know if they're allowed to teach it, because it may be ethnocentric to teach Latin. I mean, it's, after all, it's not in Mexican. It may offend people if you teach a binomial in Latin. It may be over the head of people, and it may make them feel uncomfortable if they have to remember the, you know, Homo sapiens, for example, as the Latin designation for man, humankind. You can't say Homo sapiens. After all, it's in Latin. And if you use Latin, you're liable to make some children who are stupid feel uncomfortable. They may have to reach for a pill.
Savage.
I already did the McCain thing. The guy is on the road to oblivion. That's all. I'll put it in a nice way. You want me to get literate? You want me to get PhD on you? He's on the road to oblivion. He's already apologizing. The other day, he apologized for using the middle name, or someone in his organization apologized to some schmuck from CNN who he could have wiped the floor up with if he had a brain. Today, he says, I never thought I was fated to be president. Just what the world needed to hear, John. The day after you won. Tell him you weren't fated to be president. What were you fated to run, an auto dealership? What are you talking like that for, man? Straighten up here. What do you mean you weren't fated? You're going to lead the free world against the world of Islamofascism, but you're not fated for it. Oh, you were picked. Okay, so you're saying you're like Moses. I don't want it. I don't need it. I'm a flawed man. No, look, Moses, I'm sorry you picked. I got red hair. I got a hunch, a slight back already at my age. I got sciatica. God, please leave me alone. I don't want it. I got a migraine. My hemorrhoid acts up. I can't leave the people. I'm picking on you. But I'm short. I have a bad accent. I don't want to do this. That's why I'm picking on you. Picking you because you're not perfect. That's the story of Moses, because he was an imperfect person. God picked him. Maybe that's what McCain is playing. I don't really know. You know, maybe some told him, maybe you're Moses. That you never wanted it. You're the outsider. Who knows? You could be fooling me. I wouldn't know. You're going to lead the people out of the desert. I don't even want to be in the desert. I want to be in air conditioning in Brooklyn. Why am I here? Can't we move the clock forward like 5,000 years? I could be sitting in Sheepshead Bay on an air-conditioned boat or something. I don't want to lead the people out of the desert. No, I'm picking you. But I got red hair. I'm ugly, man. No one likes me. I'm like a bent-up guy here. What are you picking me? Look at pick him. Pick Arnold Schwarzenegger. He looks like a leader. Pick him with the pecs and the definition. He's got good delts and pecs. I'm like a Schmendrick here. What are you picking me for? I'm picking you, Moses, to lead the people, the Israelites, out of the desert, specifically because you're imperfect. And I only trust imperfect people, Moses. Yeah, okay. That was my Moses bit from Wednesday, which was very popular. We put it right back in because everybody wanted to hear it again. It was good. It's not bad. So here it is Friday. It's Rock and Roll Friday. Let's cheer up the show a little bit here. Let's see. What month is this? March. What year is this? 2008. What day is this? The 7th of March. So is there any rock and roll that we should be playing right now? How about At the Hop by Danny and the Juniors? Let's go really way back in time. There you go. That's it. I'm not in a rock and roll mood. Here lies Sergeant, a great dog. I'll see you on the other side, pal. Remember we were talking about how people bury their pets? I mean, how they send their pets over to the other side? It's a different world than when I grew up. I told you. When Tippy died in Queens, God rest his little spirit, he stiffened up on the rug. We found him dead on the rug, and my mother called the garbage men. I guess they call them sanitation men now. The guys came in, they picked them up, the legs were stiff, they walked them out, you know, they did the short mover step, the short shuffle. It was a big dog, he was part chow, the one that bit down to my bone. And they put the truck on, they threw him in the back with the trash. That's how we got rid of dogs in those days. Horrible. I was like, I was a kid, it was so awful. Well, you didn't. Whoever thought of burying a dog in those days? A tombstone? What, are you crazy? You're going to go to get a tombstone in those days? No one did. Today, they build mausoleums. Crying, they go, Millie was in it. But I understand it. People are so evil. People are so horrible and deceitful and, well, whatever, go down the list. Human beings, or again, we're all the same. One level or the other, to somebody, we've ruined somebody's life. If you look back on your life, you ruined somebody's life. That's all. No matter who you think, how good you think you are, somebody hates you somewhere. That's all you got to know. Someone is disappointed. You failed somebody somewhere. You left somebody out in the cold without even knowing it. In other words, you failed somebody somewhere along the way. But dogs, never. If they're, or a cat, you bury them today. But I don't know. Last dog, Snowy, I have in a box in the living room. A little box. The whole thing is in a little box. It's kind of eerie. With a little picture of Snowy on it. That's the last dog. And Teddy, you look at this, full of life. I come home, jumps, till his heart almost breaks. I have to grab him and hold him and say, Teddy, please slow down. And he won't stop jumping. He loves me so much. And it, with every jump, I see him as an old dog, infirm and not moving. I mean, I'm a weird person. And this is the beauty of being, you see, here's the essence of humanity. I know many of you want to turn away from this show right now. Let's say you have children. You look at that beautiful child being born, and you look forward to the child growing up, and you look forward to the child, as they say, walking down the aisle, whether it be the aisle of the graduation or the marriage, and having children and grandchildren. But if your mind can do that, your mind can go to the next step too. And that although we know we age and decay and die and go back to dust, we still go on. We go on as though that is not going to happen. And that's the essence of being human. That's a lot to grasp, what I just said to you. But everyone listening to this show lives with that every moment. It's almost a psychedelic demand upon yourself to live in that realm. You go in the bathroom, you take out a toothbrush, and you brush your teeth to stop the decay of your teeth. But while you're brushing it, you know one day your teeth will decay and fall out, and you'll be toothless. I mean, am I depressing you with this? A lot of people don't want to think about this. They don't want to, oh, I don't want to hear about it. I understand that. I understand. I really do. But I saw the world this way when I was 6, 7. I always saw the world in that whole continuum, right? Like every breath. So I can take it, oh, that's good, right down to the last drop. And there it is, the dust. Boom. So what? Now, that's actually a very religious view. It's either, on one hand, if you don't handle it right, you become psychotic and you kill yourself. You become psychotic and or you kill yourself. Or you become psychotic, then you kill yourself. Or you just become psychotic and become a politician. One or the other. Or a lawyer, excuse me, a litigator. On the other hand, in other words, to get even with life, you sue somebody and try to destroy them. Usually a law, you know, a judge, let's say a liberal judge. But to get back to the reality of what I just said to you, despite the fact that we know all this, we go on. And it's enough to make you crazy altogether. So therefore, God, in his wisdom, permitted us to eat and drink and be merry. And to enjoy our family. In other words, let me explain something. Despite what I just said to you, there are ways to stop the clock and stop time without using drugs. You can use wine, for example. I know many of you have been brainwashed to say, well, that's a drug too. All right, fine. Make it equal to marijuana or crack. See if I care. I don't really care what you think. You know, you're just a brainwashed, drug addicted child, so don't even call the show. Leave me alone. But the reason God permitted man to develop wine was for the good of mankind, for example. And you could say, well, why did he then permit man to figure out how to make crack? Was that for the good? No, it was for the bad of mankind. See, there's good and there's bad. Not everything. Get it? So, anyway, you look at your dog. Jump, jump, jump. He's 4 years old, and I say enjoy every jump. Don't control him. Let that little fella jump, because one day he won't be able to. He's going to become enfeebled like your last dog, who you remember, that dog that had a Sheltie. I remember when she was old and infirm and couldn't move. She had arthritis. And it was around the time my mother was dying. It was an amazing thing. They both, like, passed on around very similar times, even though my mother had not met the dog. And, I mean, I thought in my own mind it was some kind of, like, heavenly, like, get ready for your mother to go because the dog just went type of thing. Sometimes I think animals are sacrificial. So But I remember when she would jump over, like, she was a little Sheltie, like perfect lassie. And when she was a kid, a young one, I would run with her in the woods, and I'd have a certain thing that she'd jump over, and I would raise the bar so she'd jump and jump. And it was like, really lassie, this dog. Then she was old and could hardly move, and she was blind. And, you know, okay, that's life. Same with you. Same with me. That's if you're lucky you're going to end that way. That's if you're not, if you don't have your throat cut in an alley somewhere. Or, you know, or if one of your Islamo-fascist friends don't put a bomb in your kindergartner's school and say it's in the name of peace and love. So there it is, you know. How do you go on? You go out, you have a drink, and you go out and you have a run. You go out and you go on your boat. You go out and you go on. And you do the right thing, and you hope to God that you're right, that there is another world. And you hope that you're rewarded in the next world for doing the best you could in this world and trying not to hurt anybody. That's it. That's the whole story in one. That's it. And in a few minutes, there's nothing more to it than that. There's nothing more to it than that. Do you know that? There's nothing more to life than what I just told you. Nothing. It's not that complicated. We're all trapped in an animal body, and many of us know it, and many of us know we're mortal. That's the normal thing to know. But there's a whole realm of humanity that wants to think that they're different and they're immortal, and that they're personally never going to age, they're personally never going to die, that there is no God, there is no next world. That all I need to do is get a new Botox treatment and plastic breasts and plastic butt, okay, and a new trainer, and they're going to keep going on and on and on. Well, good luck to you. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. So then what do you do when you come to that point? I don't know. Take a look at the world. You can sing. You can dance. You can paint. You can give money to charity. You can go to church. You can build a church. You can build a temple in Malaysia. Whatever you want to do, you can take 50 lovers. Take whatever road you want, but whatever you do, you're not getting out of here alive. You get what I'm saying? So that's the way I see the world. I mean, maybe is this... So you say, well, why go on then? I want to finish this thought for a minute. I know it may be depressing to a lot of people who can't handle it, but I want to go back to something. When I was a kid, everything was when I was a kid. All right, when I was a kid, I learned everything in Queens anyway. I think Freud was right. I think by the age of 6, we learn everything, and we are who we are. It's a horrible thought. I remember when I was 15 and I was just like starting to read psychology. I was precocious. I read it on my own. I didn't want to think that I was who I was at 5. Because Freud said, well, your being was fixed at 5, who you are. See, that's horrible. I'm only 14, 15. No, that's who you are. God, it's awful. So at around that time, when I was like 8, 10, Queens, there was a doctor's wife who went crazy on 169th Street. I don't remember her name, but she'd walk around crying to everybody. She'd stop children, postman, the seltzer man. She'd stop anyone she could crying and shake them and say, why did God make us if we have to die? Why did God make us if we have to die? Why were my children born if they have to die? That's what she did in the neighborhood. So a kid sees that, they don't know what to make of it. I never laughed at her. I didn't think it was funny. I knew it was a tragedy, but I didn't quite understand what the tragedy was. But it was whispered in the neighborhood, you see, that she had gone crazy, that she had had a so-called nervous breakdown. Well, I don't know. I thought about it later on in life, and I actually thought it was a pretty good question. What's the point of it all? In other words, if we're just going to sit here and watch our bodies decay in front of us, we're going to get fat and sick and old? Great. Terrific way to look forward to things. See, I take pleasure along the way. All right, good. That's temporal. Fine. God, pleasure. You know, you ever hear people say life is too short, you may as well enjoy it? What does that mean? How do you remember you had a good time 10 years ago when you're old? I mean, I had a good time 10 years ago, so therefore I don't mind being 92 and sick. I don't get that. I can't figure that one out. So the object is to live as pain-free as possible. That's how I look at it. I don't seek happiness, my friend. I gave up on happiness at around 19. I realized happiness was the biggest racket that was ever invented by mankind. Hey, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I'll take the first two, but leave me alone with the third. I remember writing in my journal when I was 17 that happiness consists of a few, you know, moments of peace, and that's about it. There are intervals of relative calm. I wouldn't call it happiness after. I'm talking when you're adult. Children are happy. Yes, children are happy. I watch children. I see how beautiful it is to see them in their innocence. Dogs are happy. adults are not really on earth to be happy. It's not a thing that you should work for. It'll only make you unhappy. Do you understand that the more you run after that, the less you're going to have of it? And the more you scream you are free, free, free. I'm free. I'm sexually liberated. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. We hear your chain rattling. I'm free. I smoke pot all the time. I'm free. I'm free. No, you're not free. You're a victim. You're a prisoner of your own addiction. So now where does that leave us back to the current events of the time and news? It leaves us right back to where we started. Who of the candidates is going to best assure us our life and our liberty and our pursuit of happiness? Now, that's an interesting way to approach it. Is it Barack Hussein Obama, the mystery candidate who we don't know anything about, who's been deified by the media? I'm not taking a chance on him. He's got the most hateful wife I've ever seen in the public arena. The only reason she gets away with it is, you know why, because there's a triple standard. Go let a Republican white woman say the thing she said. See what would have happened over at the Judenrat network. Is it Hillary Clinton? No, we know what she's going to bring. She already brought it. Is it John McCain? Maybe. Maybe. The man did fly Phantom jets in Vietnam. He comes from a distinguished military family. What does that mean? It means that they dedicated their lives to protecting this country. That's a huge thing. That's a huge thing to come from a distinguished military family. He was in prison in Vietnam for 5.5 years. He was tortured for 5.5 years by the Vietnamese. They hung him from posts. They broke his shoulders, which is why he walks like that. Now, what's amazing to me is that his moron campaign managers don't tell you any of this. The same, and I'm telling you, they're Judases. You mark Mike's words. The same Judases who destroyed Giuliani, the bartender. The same Judases who destroyed Giuliani and destroy every Republican are working for John McCain. The same Judases. I'll be right back.
Savage.
It is the Savage Nation, although you know that one day I won't be on the radio because I'll be too infirm or gone. You listen thinking that you have hope. And we do have hope because we're still winning. We still have the greatest nation on earth because it was founded by the most intelligent men the world had ever seen. They created a constitution that's so amazing that even the current crop of Lilliputians can't seem to destroy our freedoms. Even though they have activist judges working on it around the clock, the Lilliputians have not yet figured out how to totally destroy our freedoms. They're working at it. The Lilliputian Bolshevik judges are just bewildered that they can't have total power. Homeschoolers, now they want to put them in prison unless they take a course on how to brainwash the children, for example. Or my case. You don't have freedom of speech. You're a conservative. We'll even take the side of an Islamic front group, an Islamist front group. That's right. That's how smart we are as liberals. So there it is. I keep going on. This is just step one to me. Am I happy about the judge? No. Did I expect anything else? Maybe. A Clinton judge I expected to side with me in San Francisco? Yeah, right. Oh, sure. I expected a Clinton judge to side with me. Sure, sure. If Mussolini or Stalin were here, they would side with them. Roswell, New Mexico. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Dr. Savage, I just wanted to say thank you, and if I can, I'd like to ask you two quick questions. One, I want to thank you for keeping up the fight on CARE, because tonight I finally was able to send you a little bit, not as much as I wanted, but I did send you some.
Do you know that CARE has stated its support for Hamas, the very group that killed those Jewish children yesterday? CARE made statements days before the Hamas terror attack on Israeli teens. It came out today. On March 1st, 2008, the Council on American Islamic Relations expressed its support for Hamas and denied that Hamas was a terrorist organization. Can you believe this?
Well,
and this is the very same group that liberals in America are siding with against me.
Irritate me. And being a vet, they irritate me even more. If I can I make a challenge, please, sir?
Go ahead, quickly, though.
I understand you're at the top of the hour. I'd like to challenge all the Coast Guard vets, active duty, retired, disabled, as myself or anybody else, send anything you can. Dr. Savage needs it. And I have one quick question for you, sir.
You'll have to hold on because I have 10 seconds and I don't want to be rude to you. This is the Savage Nation. We have another big hour. Be here because I will be right here, right on your station to talk about all the news of the day. And believe me, there's none of it.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
The Teddy Nation. Welcome to the program, all you little Teddy lovers out there. Call me at 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. For those of you interested in the reality of the world, the reality of my world, go to my website, because on the website you'll find out, I think, much more than you'll find, let's say, in your local newspaper. Now, I don't write the stories, but I do is I link up stories to tell, well, present the world as I see it to you. And some of the sources might be liberal newspapers. Some of them might be conservative sources. But the pastiche that you see on michaelsavage.com gives you a quick view of the world. So on my left front, Muslim front group wants liberal San Fran judge appointed by Clinton to throw out Savage's lawsuit. And they may get that, and in which case I'll appeal it. And I'm going to need your help. Many of you have asked how you help. You go to my website. You donate through PayPal. It's easy. Or you go to Michael Savage Legal, you send it to the cash check, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. That's it. It's as simple as that. If I have to fight them in the courts and they have money coming in from foreign sources, they may or may not. I don't know where their funding comes from. I don't know where they have unlimited funding from. They don't have that many members. Where are they getting their money from? They sued a group a while ago who they say defamed them. The group said, okay, let's go to court. And then they settled with this group, and that when discovery came up, because they didn't want to disclose their funding. I've heard this from many, many other people. CARE will not disclose its funding. Why is that? I don't know. Maybe it's perfectly legitimate. Maybe it isn't. Why won't they disclose their funding? I'm going to disclose my funding. It's you. All of the funds that I'm using to pay my attorney is from this audience. The money didn't come from Saudi Arabia, didn't come from Syria, it did not come from Russia, didn't come from Lebanon, didn't come from Iran, didn't come from gutter, didn't come from the gutter. It came from the good people of the Savage Nation. $5, $1, $2,000, $10,000, that's where it came from. Not one organization has given me a penny. Not one organization that I stood up for has come forward with so much as a thank you. People I took to dinner didn't even send me $5. That's what I found. You know, you find out who your friends are when you're in a time of need. Oh, yeah, last December I had a dinner for a group of people. I tried to put together a coalition of conservatives in San Francisco. So I took about 20 guys out to dinner. A, I never heard from any of them, and no one sent a dime. Oh, but they're all conservatives. Everyone's a conservative. Well, they're Republicans anyway. And they're trying to save America from the liberals. Albany, New York. Fred, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, good doctor. I would be willing to bet, if I dealt with a bookmaker, that soon the name Teddy is going to be the most popular dog name in America.
Well, you know, Teddy may be the most popular, one of the most popular, top three dogs in America. Can you name a more? Okay, Barney has to be number one. George Bush's great little dog. I don't know why he doesn't show him more often, but I think Barney's a great dog. The best thing the president ever did, President Mrs. Bush, was run Barney around with a handy cam behind him at Christmas a couple of years ago. I love that. What if I had Ted? What if I had a day in the life of Teddy Savage with a handy cam running behind him? That would be so great. I'll put it up on michaelsavage.com. Well, the reason he's named Teddy, not to get distracted, is that he's a 10 or 11-pound gray poodle. He is naturally furred. I did not trim him like a French poodle. I don't like that look in small dogs anyway. Sometimes I've been... And he's got full fur, so he looks like a bear. And poodles have a peculiarity. They can stand on their hind feet that straighten out over. They lay down and they put their feet out. They're like simians, and their feet can be extended in a vertical manner. It's unbelievable. So when he stands up to beg for a bagel in the morning or whatever, he walks around on his hind legs like a trained bear. It's utterly unbelievable. It's cute. I know he's begging and he shouldn't, but what are you going to do? Once he's conditioned like that, there's no going back. I overfed the last dog and gave it arthritis and almost killed it. I know this is going to happen. I have to fight with myself to give it, you know, some carrots and peas once in a while. Or it'll wind up like a stiff, like Tippy, if I'm not careful. But again, you know, what are you going to do? I want to breed him. I need a three-year-old gray poodle. Anyone know a purebred? You know what Teddy's name is on his birth certificate? Teddy Trueblood. Theodore Trueblood. It's great. All about a dog. Don't trust anybody who doesn't drink alcohol and doesn't have a dog in the house. That's all I can tell you. I'm telling you an awful lot. There's certain groups, there's entire groups that won't have a pet in the house and they don't drink alcohol. Look out. Just look out. Anyone who doesn't have a pet in the house and won't drink alcohol, watch out. That's all I can tell you. Up next, we have a very serious discussion that I did earlier with Randy Thomason on homosexual marriage in California and how terrible it's going for families and family values. Under Arnold Schwarzenegger, the entire family value movement has been not only put on a side rail, but it's been derailed permanently. The wheels have been taken off the train under old Arnie. Old Arnold Strudelman. You're going to want to hear what old Arnold Strudelman's doing to the normal people of California right here on the Savage Nation. So be here. Savage. The current effort by the homosexual mafia to destroy the institution of marriage is playing out in California. The brown shorts have gone judge shopping and are hoping to get any Twosome Newsome's gay marriage spree validated. Randy Thomason of the California Campaign for Children and Families was live in court when they made their vile arguments. Randy, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, it's a pleasure to be on your show. Thank you for covering this important subject.
The issue of homosexual marriage, an oxymoron, is up before the California Supreme Court. What is it exactly that they're being asked to rule on?
Well, the question before the court is the definition of marriage in California law, California statutes, is it unconstitutional? Is limiting marriage to a man and a woman, defining it as such, unconstitutional? Now, the city of San Francisco, of course, this is really their plan B. Remember 4 years ago they did their violating of the law with Gavin Newsom and all those counterfeit marriage certificates. And they were shut down because they were a city, not a state, had no jurisdiction to do that. Their plan B was to go to court and try to do another Massachusetts, try to claim, well, there's sex discrimination, there's sexual orientation discrimination, there's privacy discrimination violations, and there's equal protection violations. And they're just throwing this whole stuff together and calling it a strict scrutiny case. Really saying that the state of California is guilty and must prove itself innocent, when already the lower court, the state appeals court, 2 years ago, on a rational basis test, found that the state did have several legitimate interests in protecting marriage for one man and one woman, most of all the interest of what's best for children. Children do best with a married mother and father, and the state is interested in promoting what's best for children.
How are you and your organization involved in this case?
In 2004, the day after San Francisco Mayor Gavin Newsom launched his homosexual marriage certificate parade, I had the privilege of filing the first lawsuit against him, and that case was called Thomason v. Newsom. And we had wonderful attorneys, and still do, at Liberty Counsel, which is based in Florida. And so that case has been kept involved in these consolidated marriage cases. There's the city of San Francisco and homosexual groups on one side, and then on the other side, the pro-marriage side, there's the state of California, the Attorney General's office, reluctantly arguing to defend the law. Then there's the Prop 22 Legal Defense and Education Fund, and then there's my other group called Campaign for California Families, and that's why we got 15 minutes in court. And I thought our attorney, Matt Staver, did an excellent job saying that children need a mother and a father, and the state has preferred these relationships of marriage, and that's why the state has upheld marriage. This is why the court should uphold marriage as well.
It has been mentioned that Schwarzenegger had replaced the state's attorneys with his own. Why was that done by old Donald?
That actually came up in court. One of the justices, Kennard, asked why you're not together. And the state's attorney didn't address that, but the governor's attorney did, saying, well, we believe you either have to do this on a strict scrutiny level or a rational basis level. And Jerry Brown's office says that you can rule on an intermediate level, intermediate scrutiny. He said that we're not agreeing with that, creating a new level of scrutiny. It might have been some other reasons. Schwarzenegger and the establishment really have created this alternative system of counterfeit marriages where same-sex domestic partners, homosexual couples, get all the rights and all the benefits of marriage as a husband and wife. That means currently in California, two homosexuals get the same honor and the rights of marriage in the law as a husband and wife. I mean, they've got the cake. They're just arguing about the cherry on the cake. That's why the only Democrat on the court, Carlos Moreno, who was appointed by Gray Davis, said, isn't this just about the M word?
You've been in court the last few days. What have you seen, or what has the reaction by the courts been?
On Tuesday, I was sitting in the second row of the court, close to the liberal wing of the court, by the way, and it was a 3.5-hour marathon. It was like I was watching a movie that had gone on too long, and I was getting tired. But the first half was the city of San Francisco and the homosexual marriage groups, and they were asked lots of hard questions, like, why aren't domestic partners equal? How can you claim that there's not equality? How can you claim there's a privacy violation if you don't have same-sex marriage when you're saying that marriage is a public honor thing? How can you claim equal protection applies here? The Perez case that you're hinging your argument on was a 1948 California Supreme Court case where the court struck down the ban on interracial marriage. Wasn't that about opposite-sex couples, even though they were black and white? Wasn't that a definition of opposite sex? And hard questions like that, it made most reporters think that the justices were going to go against the city of San Francisco, including the newest justice, Carol Corrigan, who was appointed by Arnold Schwarzenegger. She said the biggest thing for her was the democratic process. Is this really up to the court, or is it up to the people? Well, then the second half came, and it was time for the defense of marriage, and the state attorney general's office got the bulk of the time, did a very weak argument, not even saying a legitimate interest for marriage or why marriage is traditionally should be this way for a man and a woman, but merely saying, look, it's just the way it is. Marriage is for a man and a woman, and we've created a parallel system where same-sex couples get all the rights of marriage and blah, 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 blah. It was really only the pro-family attorneys representing our organization, Campaign for California Families, and then the Prop 22 group. Only the pro-family attorneys got in there and said, hey, look, there's a legitimate interest for keeping marriage for a man and woman. It's predominantly the children that often come from when a man and a woman get together, and also children do best with a married mother and father. And, Michael, this was so important that those arguments for the children got in there, because those arguments were not in the case in Massachusetts in 2003. The court there heard no arguments about how marriage helps children, and so the courts, on a 4-3 decision there, said, hey, you know, there's no valid reason for excluding homosexual couples. We certainly don't want to see a 4-3 ruling that way here. However, I think that it's going to be very close. I expect a 4-3 ruling one way or the other. I'm thinking they'll be in the side of keeping marriage. The swing vote, I think, is going to be Chief Justice Ron George. He is up for re-election in 2 years, and if he is the one that legalizes same-sex marriage and it happens all over the state for all the children to see, I think the voters will be very angry and they will react.
So what happens if the enemy wins?
If this goes bad and same-sex marriages, homosexual men and women, they're getting licenses, very public, all over the TV, it's going to be like 2004 all over again, that month of the homosexual marriage parade out of San Francisco, but this will be permanent, and parents are going to be covering up the eyes of their children who are watching it on TV, scooting them away. I think this will empower a move to do a statewide marriage amendment to override the judges. Now, what's interesting is that in the 3.5-hour marathon hearing, the judges were basically giving arguments for our marriage amendment that we have proposed, which is called the VoteYesMarriage.com amendment, which protects marriage licenses, marriage rights, marriage benefits for one man and one woman. You see, you can't just protect the word marriage. In California, that can easily be undermined. The legislature has already redefined gender, so male and female is up for grabs. And counterfeit marriage comes when you give away all the rights of marriage, and then that trains the next generation and even some judges. Well, if you give someone all the rights of marriage, you also need to give them the title of the marriage. It's only logical. If marriage is a house, you've got to protect all of the house. You've got to lock all the doors, all the windows, and prohibit the legislature or anyone else from taking the house off of its hinges and away on a truck. That's a figurative argument for protecting all of marriage from the attacks of the legislature and the judges. The judges in court actually talked about how the Attorney General and the Governor Schwarzenegger had written in their briefs that the rights of marriage could in the future be yanked from husbands and wives, that marriage could actually be abolished under law. You know, this court has already given away so much, even forcing some private businesses to regard homosexual clients as married. This court has already redefined parenthood to say that two mothers are the legal parents of a child, even though there's no biological or legal connection beforehand. This court has already struck down parental consent for abortion, even though the legislature passed that back in the 80s. This is a moderate court, but was playing out the evidence in the courtroom. And all of the evidence pointed to the need for the VoteYesMarriage.com amendment, which protects the whole enchilada of marriage. Why would we go and put time and money into a marriage amendment to override the judges if the legislature and the courts could undermine and overthrow that amendment in the future? We've got to do a rock-solid deal, something built on solid rock, not sinking sand.
Randy Thomason, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Michael, it was great talking with you. My wife listens to you all the time. She gets more opportunity than I do. Thank you for your standards for marriage.
Savage.
The recent display of a Che Guevara picture at an Obama headquarters shocked America. Alberto Montova, an expert on Cuba, has written an article on it and is here to speak with us about it. Mr. Montova, welcome back to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for having me on, and y'all call anytime.
In a recent article, you wrote about an Obama campaign worker, Maria Isabel, who displayed some posters in the Houston office. Tell us about this.
Exactly. Some posters. Actually, they weren't even posters. They were Cuban flags emblazoned with the face of Fidel Castro's chief executioner, Che Guevara, a man who considered the United States the enemy of mankind and who proposed and tried to incinerate the United States during the missile crisis. As a matter of fact, right after it, he thought he was talking off the record to the London Daily Worker. This was in November of 1962. He said, if the missiles had remained in Cuba, we would have fired them against the heart of the United States, including New York City. The victory. victory of socialism is worth millions of atomic victims. Is this a proper icon for a campaign worker, for a man who is running for presidency of the United States of America? It doesn't strike me as such. And what happens is that typically I'm going to go out limb and say probably 80% of the time that you see Che Guevara paraphernalia, T-shirts, posters, I'm willing to bet 80% of the time the person has no idea who the guy is. But they have a very vague notion of who he is. Wow, man, isn't that the guy, the bass player for the Smashing Pumpkins? Or, wow, man, I think I saw that guy at Woodstock. No. It turns out that this campaign, but she is a volunteer, but she's very heavily involved in the campaign. She is, in fact, a precinct captain in Houston. And, in fact, she is the head of something called the Obama Leadership Group in Houston. Houston Obama Leadership Team. She's the head. But what makes it interesting is that she was born in Cuba. She's a middle-aged woman. She's 52 years old, and she lived in Cuba as a child, which means she lived in Cuba at a time when Che Guevara was Fidel Castro's chief executioner. The Cuban regime executed more people in his first 3 years in power than Hitler's regime executed in his first six. And he was second in command and chief executioner of that regime while that woman was living there. So I don't think, you know, we can kind of shunt this off as ignorance. This woman knew perfectly well, knows perfectly well, who is Che Guevara, and yet she saw fit to decorate her campaign offices with the man's image.
Well, how close, really, is she to Obama?
Well, we have got pictures. In fact, this is on her own Flickr page, her arm-in-arm with Barack Obama in a bear hug, an abrazo, as we would say in Spanish, with Michelle Obama. And, I mean, just lots of those pictures, which are right there. So, again, what the campaign did when finally this was brought to light, because the mainstream media did absolutely nothing all this. This was strictly talk radio and the conservative blogosphere that brought this to light. Finally, the Obama campaign came out and goes, she's a volunteer, you know. She's not a staff. But as we can see, when you're a precinct captain, you know, you're a pretty ardent volunteer. And then they came out and said, well, we consider the posters inappropriate. Hey, a guy who wanted to exterminate most of the American population with nuclear weapons is inappropriate. Well, the blogosphere stuck with the story. Finally, the campaign came out with another statement. It says, we were disappointed to see those posters because they are offensive to many Cuban Americans, and they do not represent Senator Obama's views. What was interesting to me about that statement is that they never said that the Obama campaign found them offensive. See, they were offensive to primarily Cuban Americans. No, they should be offensive to all Americans. The man wanted to blow the United States up. He considered America the enemy of humanity and called them hyenas. That's not offensive just to Cuban Americans, the people who he murdered, whose relatives he murdered. That should be offensive to all of them.
Why is the murderer, the executioner Guevara, such a romantic figure to the left?
Oh, yeah, it's like I say, there's absolutely no romance. The reason for that is that he happened by sheer, I call him the Ringo Starr of revolutionaries, of communism, because he happened to link up with a man I consider the top publicity agent of the 20th century and simply rode his coattails to fame. That man is Fidel Castro. He created the whole Che Guevara legend. But the one drawback to having Fidel Castro as your publicity agent is that he will start playing you up and publicizing what a wonderful person you are only after he has sent you to sleep with the fishes, which was exactly the case with Che Guevara. Fidel Castro sent him deliberately to his death in Bolivia, and this is fully documented in my book, Exposing the Real Che Guevara. I interviewed the CIA men, the ones who are still alive, who went down to Bolivia to help track him down. This is great. They were getting information about Che Guevara's whereabouts from the Bolivian Communist Party. The Bolivian Communist Party was a Soviet aligned, and so they were also aligned with Castro. Castro was passing information to the Bolivian Communist Party, who was then passing it along to the CIA so that they could track down and get rid of a man that was no longer of use at that time to Fidel Castro, Che Guevara.
Haven't some of Michelle Obama's speeches sounded oddly similar to Guevara's speeches in the early days?
Right. It is astounding. And, you know, I really want to hope that this was an unwitting paraphrasing of Che Guevara. But it is absolutely, I mean, when you think about it, Michelle Obama goes, Barack Obama will require you to work, that you move out of your comfort zones, that you push yourselves, and that you engage. Barack will never allow you to go back to your lives as usual, uninvolved and uninformed. This was a speech she gave recently in UCLA. Well, let me quote now Che Guevara. He says, "The mass will carry out with matchless enthusiasm and discipline the tasks set by government, whether in the field of the economy, culture, defense, sports, etc. With ideological education, the individual will reach total consciousness as a social being." And, you know, and also Miss Obama, she says, "We live in isolation, and because of that isolation, we fear each other. Barack Obama is going to demand that you shed your cynicism, that you put down your division, that you come out of your isolation." Now, here's Che Guevara. He says, "The most important revolutionary aspiration is to see human beings liberated from their alienation. Lack of education makes some take the solitary road towards satisfying their own personal ambitions." Hey, guess what? I thought that was the American way, you know? And I can very well see Che Guevara impugning the American way, but it sounds pretty much to what Ms. Michelle Obama was saying about the American way. And that should be disturbing. Like I say, I don't think she was reading Che Guevara. But my heavens, there's a famous quote by the late James Burnham. "The liberal cannot strike wholeheartedly at the communist for fear of wounding himself in the process." And that's exactly right. Their beliefs share so many of the same premises that they just can't. And I think this is probably what we're seeing here. You know, that communism, you know, this is a word that's been forgotten by a lot of people, but we got a place 90 miles from our shore, folks, with the people who are still oppressed by communism, by Stalinism, actually. And then you go over to the extreme left of the Democratic Party, and their premises are so similar. I'm not saying the extreme left of the Democratic Party is Stalinist or totalitarian, but they share premises with communism about, you know, the ways to improve society. Of course, they differ on the means.
The media always buries stories like this when it has to do with the left. It wouldn't happen that way for the right now, would it?
Well, when you think about it, the thing that would get me, really, when you get to the very nut of this issue, is say, let us say that they found Benito Mussolini posters in a McCain office. Do you think a simple statement like, "Oh, well, that's inappropriate, that's unrepresentative," do you think that would suffice with the mainstream media? We all know better. The mainstream media would have jumped on that, and they would have been trying to get McCain to jump through hoop after hoop and apologizing and self-flogging himself. But we all know that happened, but nothing of the sort happened when the campaign worker for Obama chose or seems to idolize a mass murderer who wanted to obliterate the United States. Like I say, it's we're not saying, I'm certainly not saying that the left wing of the Democratic Party is Stalinist. But like I say, You've got to look at this. And had it been any other way, had it been with a Republican candidate, oh, my goodness, we would have never heard the end of it from the mainstream media. In this case, we have got to rely on shows like the Michael Savage Show to get the word. But otherwise, no one would have found about this, you know, this, to me, scandalous issue. And it's very interesting because Fidel Castro himself has already endorsed what he considers the dream ticket for this fall. It is an Obama-Clinton ticket. Yeah, he already came out in favor of such a ticket. And former Sandinista dictator, he isn't still a Sandinista, but he's the current president of Nicaragua, Daniel Ortega, just came out and endorsed Obama. He says that the United States is laying the foundations for a revolutionary change. That's how he sizes up the Obama candidacy. Now, it's very interesting because the Sandinistas' national anthem has the line in it, "We will fight the United States, the great enemy of humanity." Now, Sandinistas lifted that straight from Che Guevara's speech. And I certainly hope that Michelle Obama's paraphrasing, seemingly, of the same guy was unwitting. Let's hope. I think it was, though.
Mr. Fontova, thanks for being on the Savage Nation.
Thanks a lot for this, because if it weren't for shows like this, heaven knows there are precious, precious few outlets in the United States, and I'm ashamed to say that, to get out the real story. I am extremely grateful that the Michael Savage Show is one of these outlets. Thank you very much, Michael.
Savage.
So as you know, this is a very big day for the 25,000 of you who sent money to the Michael Savage Defense Fund. A San Francisco judge, appointed by Bill Clinton, is siding with the Islamist front group CARE. Now, why do I call them an Islamist front group, not a civil rights group? Because wherever you turn in America, slowly but surely, step by step, CARE is trying to impose an extremist form of Sharia law upon America. Why do I say that? Look at their track record. What you're about to hear is what CARE in Cleveland, Ohio, is saying about Harvard University's decision to ban men from one of its gyms to accommodate Muslim women. They threw men out of the gym so that Muslim women could go into the gym wearing full body covering. Now, we're supposed to live in a secular society. It's supposed to be equal access to all. But as you well know, some Muslims want special access for them. Listen to 16.
Our women can exercise in the clothing that, for example, that I'm wearing now, but it can be uncomfortable, and particularly if we're doing a particular exercise of stretching and whatnot. Our faith asks us to be modest. I think other faiths also do that, some in the Jewish and Christian communities. And this really isn't about excluding anybody. This is about including everyone and trying to find a way so that everybody
can
participate.
Shut up, you hair. Get her off my show, this Nazi. Get the Nazi off my show. You think I'm going to let her get away with that on my show? Every time these left-wing rats condemn somebody or exclude somebody, they say this is not about excluding anybody, even though men were banned. It's about including everybody, as long as they're Muslims in full body garb. Now, I want you to understand this. Julia Shearson, in my opinion, is a convert. They're the worst. The converts to any religion are the most zealous and usually the most fanatic and the most dangerous. Listen to clip 17.
I think the beautiful thing about Harvard is they have a lot of exercise facilities that are open hundreds and hundreds of hours. And as a matter of fact, this is just 6 hours out of a very lengthy schedule, not even really during peak times. But in any case, I think that the accommodation was reasonable. But if they need to go back and revisit it, that should be fine. All the stakeholders should come together on this. I think it's really important. I think many in the country could be guided by an excellent accommodation policy that is reasonable. And I think no one
see
in this
accommodation.
Debate
give
says
us foot baths in Minneapolis.
In
Shut up. You're not putting a hijab over my body. You're not putting a burqa on my wife. You are not performing your miserable rituals on my women. Let me tell you. Listen, you people, you better wake up. You people are the reason we're losing America. It's not me. I'm fighting this fight every day of my life. But here they shopped it to a judge, in my case, appointed by Bill Clinton. They call themselves a civil rights group, but here they are backing a woman who sued Harvard University to ban men from a gymnasium so women in a full body garb, a 15th century outfit, can exercise. And they call it fairness and accommodation. You don't understand that they're using civil rights as a wedge to destroy America's freedoms. You don't understand it, or you don't want to know it. I understand it, and I know it, and that's why I'm fighting them. You want to help? Go on to michaelsavage.com and send a donation. There's nothing else you can do. That's my case. Again, the address, if you don't want to go to PayPal, Michael Savage Legal Fund, 4 Embarcadero Center, 39th floor, San Francisco, 94111. Simple. You want to walk the walk or you want to talk the talk? Because right now, you got foot baths in many universities, total violation of the separation of church and state. You've got Muslim cab drivers in Minneapolis who refuse to take people in their car who have dogs, including blind people with seeing eye dogs, because it's against their throwback view of their faith. Now, you got to understand what I just said to you. I said their throwback view of their faith because their faith to a modern practicing Muslim does not prohibit a dog in a car. These are primitives, mainly from Somalia, who are taxi drivers imposing their Somali view on America. Now, if that's your idea of the melting pot, you're a sick puppy. If that's your idea of America, where suddenly we have an immigrant group that comes in and says, we're not going to do it your way, America. You're going to do it our way. We're going to drag you back into the 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th century. And before you know it, you won't even recognize your own country. That's what's going on in this country. Step by step, day by day. They don't have to set off bombs. In fact, that would be counterproductive. They don't have to break into a Jewish school and kill Jewish children, comma, yet, period. They could do that in Israel because you don't care about Jewish kids in Israel. With the Judenrats like Wolf Blitzer at CNN, nobody cares about Israel anymore. Isn't that amazing, the Judenrats like Wolf Blitzer, in my opinion? The clowns who put on the clown mask every day to lead people to their demise. Astounding, isn't it? Unbelievable. So there it is, a massacre at a seminary in Jerusalem, and the Judenrats in America, like Wolf Blitzer, put on the clown masks and the makeup and lead you to your own demise.
Well, Obama part of the Golden Gate today. Obama made a ship fly, and Michelle Obama is better than Martha Washington. We'll be right back.
That's your media. This is the Savage Nation. It's different. Go to michaelsavage.com or don't be anywhere.
Savage.